Hey, it's Jackie from the 40 Thrive podcast. I want to tell you real quick, this episode is totally different from the others in one huge way. I went up to Portland, Oregon. I was spending the weekend with Diane Wingard, who you know from other episodes, and working with another client. And what I wanted to do was just record on the fly in Diane's closet using my iPhone. And the reason I wanted to do this was because I work with women all of the time who feel like they want to do something, but they got to have all their ducks in a row and they've got to make it overly complicated. And so I went out of my way to just use my iPhone. I will tell you the quality is not exactly the same as the other episodes, but I think the message is so much more important. So anyway, take a listen.
Listening to the 40 Thrive podcast, the show created for women 40 and beyond, ready to shake things up. And now, your host, Jackie McDougall.
Welcome back to another episode of the 40 Thrive podcast. So I posted in our private 40 Thrive Facebook group this weekend asking the Thrivers if they have started over or they feel like they're in the process of starting over. And what an awesome reaction. So today's episode is right on time. It's like the perfect time for this. I am in Portland, Oregon with the one and only Diane Wingard in her closet, in her home. And for you nerds out there, I'm actually recording this with my iPhone. So all my students who are like, oh, I need fancy equipment. Yeah, this is what I'm telling you. Anyway, moving on. Diane, welcome.
Thank you. Welcome to you too. You're in my walk-in closet. In your pajamas, no less.
My pajamas. So awesome. I think, you know, this is episode number 47. And we're breaking the rules here because this is the latest I've ever recorded an episode.
Right. What is it? It feels like midnight. Oh, no. My Fitbit just crapped out and I don't even know what time it is anymore.
It's like a little after nine. I mean, it's so funny because I've been here for 3 days and you get up super duper early.
Yeah. It's like I get up at Dairy Farmer.
Like roosters are like, bitch.
Yeah. Go back to bed, girl. 4:40.
4:40 every morning.
It's crazy.
Oh my gosh. And I was actually out with a client by, I arrived there at 6:30 this morning.
You got to tell them how I served you coffee at 5 a.m. before I went to the gym. That was and you're getting it tomorrow too before you leave. Just saying.
That was so amazing. And you know, it's because I'm very lucky. The one, my husband does get me coffee every morning. And so whenever I go somewhere else, I'm like, oh, I'm not going to have that treatment. But you did not disappoint.
Well, you set me up for it. You were telling me how your husband gets you coffee every morning. And I'm like, well, she did come all the way to my new home in Portland. So yes. I just have to maintain the tradition. Yes. What else is a girl to do?
Thank you. You're
so welcome.
I appreciate that. So I do want to talk about starting over. Because when you were on the show, and you've been on twice before, so I think you are the leader of the three-time...
Oh, I love being the leader.
It's our trifecta. It's our hat trick episode. Thank you. You talked about in the past, you're no stranger to starting over. You've started over.
Multiple times.
You've been married a few times. And
only three.
I said a few. You've had a few different careers.
Yes.
And so you thrive when it comes to starting over. But this is a big change. You just moved from Southern California, where you lived for how many years?
My whole life.
Your entire life.
My entire life.
And now you live in Portland, Oregon.
I do.
And it's been, what month was that, March?
We packed up our stuff on February 21st. That's the day the moving van came. We had just decided 4 weeks prior that we were going to move here.
Oh my gosh.
We had a 4-week escrow that closed. And
for those of you who aren't in California, escrow just means like the contract of the house selling.
Right. Well, what was amazing is after, you know, I've lived all over not necessarily all over Southern California, all over LA County.
Yeah.
Because LA County, for those that don't live there, it's a part of Southern California. It's not all of it.
Right.
So I lived all over LA County all of my life, but I'm now in my early into my sixth decade. And we decided to move to Portland, Oregon the week of Christmas. And 4 weeks later, we closed escrow on our house here. We packed up our house ourselves. We didn't get any help. And we sold our house in LA from here. It was December 27th. We came up to Oregon for Christmas week with another couple because my three adult kids were all otherwise occupied for Christmas. So we came up with another couple and we said, hey, can you guys do something else for a day? We think we want to connect with a realtor. So we did. My husband had accepted a position that was remote, and I had already transitioned from therapy to coaching. I'd already closed my psychotherapy practice in Pasadena and was working online with people all over the world. And then my husband accepted this position in December to work remotely. So we had this conversation Christmas week. Hey, now that we are both working from home, home can be wherever we want. So December 27th, we connected with a realtor. We were here in Oregon visiting, and we saw 20 houses in one day. I felt so bad for the woman. We were just on a mission. We just wanted to find out, is this the place we want to make home? We realized at the end of that day, yes, Portland is the place. We hadn't found the home of our dreams, but we knew what general area. And a couple weeks later, we got a phone call from our realtor stating that there was a place coming on the market in February. And my husband was starting his new job the first week of March. So he had 4 weeks vacation time that he hadn't taken, that had accumulated over his 25 years at his previous job. And he wanted to move during that time. So we said, oh, we're just not going to be able to wait for that. She said, let me check with the owners and see if they'll just let you take a peek even before it's officially listed. We flew up on a Sunday. Our realtor picked us up at the Portland airport at 1:30 p.m. We were back on the flight home at 5.
Wow.
We were only in the house for 15 minutes. And, you know, my husband and I both have really strong personalities and we're not always in alignment. So we sometimes have conflict getting to a compromise or getting to an agreement. But when we got here, I was walking through the upstairs. He was walking through the downstairs. Then we kind of met on the stairs and just made eye contact. In the same exact moment, we both said, let's do it. So literally 15 minutes, it was done. We told the realtor, make an offer. We went home. 2 days later, we found out the offer was accepted. We began packing immediately.
Wow. The stars were aligned.
I know. You know, to be honest with you, it's so funny because people say, oh my gosh, you've been in LA all your life. You have three grown children who all live in California, two in the Bay Area, one in Los Angeles. Everything and everyone you've ever known is in LA or somewhere in California.
Right.
What the heck are you doing? Do you have friends in Oregon? Do you know? Is there something you're going to? And I said, nope. We don't know anyone, not a single soul. And most people gave me the same reaction. I'm just thinking that the last time I got this reaction, it was kind of like, you're crazy. Like, why are you doing this? Why would you do this? Is when I decided to go skydiving for my 60th birthday. It was really almost, as I think about it now, Jackie, almost exactly the same reaction. It was, what are you thinking?
Woman!
Right? What the heck? What were you thinking? And then they say, oh my God, I would never do such a thing. And that was almost exactly the same reaction. Wait, you're moving somewhere where you don't know anyone. Climate-wise, it's nothing like Southern California. And you're doing this on this really short notice. Like, it rains there. Like, are you crazy? And I said,
yeah,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, nothing's on fire.
Well, we don't have drought, I'll tell you that. Yeah. No, everyone said the same thing. Are you crazy? Then they followed it up with, it rains a lot there. And of course, I had to be a little bit of a jackass and say, oh my God, are you kidding? Tell me everything. Like, who doesn't know it rains in Oregon? But then the other thing they said is, oh, please don't tell anyone you're from California because they hate Californians there. That has absolutely not been the case. But even if it was, I made up my mind and I was going to do it.
Right.
And we did. And it's honestly been one of the most effortless transitions of the many transitions I've made in my life.
Wow. So let's flash forward a little bit. So you're living in Oregon. Your husband's working from home.
Yes.
You're working from home.
Yes.
You don't have a lot of friends around you and support.
None. Yeah.
You're coaching online. I know that there are a lot of women in the 40 Thrive community who are like raising their hand when I asked if they were starting over in some way, shape or form. Mm. They were talking about whether it's marriage or jobs or friends.
Yes.
You know, was there any regret? Tell me about those first days. Because I think when we go to make big changes in our lives, sometimes we go, oh crap, what was I thinking? And we try to like scramble to get back what we had. Obviously you weren't going to be able to do that.
No.
But your background, you're a former psychotherapist, but you're also a life coach.
Yes.
And so you've got some skills, you've got some like tools. Bring us back to the first days. What have I done?
I think I have to take you back even further than that.
Yeah?
Yes. And the reason why I say that, Jackie, is that throughout the, you know, 20 plus years I was a therapist and the five or so years I've been a coach, one of the things I encounter over and over and over is that no matter how unhappy, uncomfortable, unsatisfied people are, the vast majority of them will do everything humanly possible to avoid change.
Mm-hmm.
We all have a tendency to say, oh, hey, my job, or my husband is such a jerk, or I got to get these adult kids out of my basement, or my sister-in-law is driving me crazy, or whatever the issue is. And we can't seem to make the necessary changes to address the underlying problem.
Right. We just accept it as fact and nothing we can do about it.
Right. Or, you know, like we do the things that most people do. It's like we complain to a friend, maybe we see a therapist or a coach. But I think one of the reasons why after many years it became difficult for me to be a therapist is that here I was in my office day after day witnessing people in pain, in whatever degree. Pain is pain. Doesn't matter if you've just had a traumatic loss or you're an empty nester. It's pain.
Right.
It's human suffering. And yet, so often I would make a suggestion, have you ever thought about this? Or are you willing to try that? And lots of times people would be, oh, I couldn't do that. I could never do that. No, no. Or they'd tell me they'd already done it or they'd already considered. Or before I'd even had a chance to get the whole idea out, they were already cutting me off. And I thought, you know, I'm starting to have a hard time relating to this because I think from the year I turned 50, I can very clearly remember the thought that the road ahead is a lot shorter than the road behind.
Mm.
That I don't have as many years to look forward to as I've already experienced.
Right.
And instead of thinking, oh my God, I'm running out of time, I got to figure some things out, or being fatalistic about it and thinking, well, it's all downhill from here, I thought, I need to get very serious about what really matters and get everything out of my way that doesn't anymore or no longer serves me. And the biggest thing I had to get out of my way is fear. Fear of failure, fear of making a mistake, fear of other people's judgments or criticisms, fear of regret. Fear, like, you know, the truth is I could have come to Portland and hated it.
Mm-hmm.
I could have come to Portland and thought, oh my God, everything they said about the rain is true. I'll tell you, the first day I was here, it rained.
Mm-hmm.
It was March, but I kind of expected it. The second day, it was sunny. The third day, it snowed.
What?
Snowed.
Wow.
I slipped and fell flat on my ass.
Welcome to Portland.
And I got a bruise as big as my head that lasted for 3 weeks.
Oh.
Now, the first thought I had was, didn't expect that. And I kind of felt, you know, I've worked on myself a lot. And the whole thing about skydiving was that I wanted to be able to do scary things without being afraid.
Mm.
So I prepared myself for that extensively with meditation, with self-coaching, with a lot of techniques that I use with my clients. And I was determined, I'm going to jump out of this airplane and I am only going to experience joy, no fear. I didn't know that I was going to be moving 3 years later. I really had no idea. I just knew that from what I've seen in life, as people get older in general, they tend to become more fearful. They tend to become less willing to change.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to become less able to, quote, see themselves in a different setting. And I was determined from the age of 50 that I was going to fight that with everything in me. So I literally started making it a plan. Every year after 50, I was going to challenge myself to do something that I was either afraid of, I was pretty sure I was going to fail at, or was just foreign to me, or I would be uncomfortable with. So 50th birthday, I learned how to drive a stick shift car.
Hmm.
I'd never learned how to drive a stick shift car.
Right.
I drove one for 5 years. I checked that off my list. I got a tattoo. I had wanted a tattoo on and off for years. I finally got one. They really do hurt like hell.
Yes.
I got a second one a year later, and it was like, oh yeah, this is exactly, well, it's kind of like when you have kids, you know, you go through childbirth and you're like, oh my God, this is awful. I'll never do it again. And then you have like childbirth amnesia. I think there is tattoo amnesia. Otherwise, yes, there wouldn't be so many people who have so many.
And I remember like one of them, I was like, what? I don't recall this.
Yes. It's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe how much this hurts. Traveling to parts of the world that a lot of people wouldn't go.
Mm.
Because I wanted to be challenged. And honestly, there's some people that think I'm crazy, and maybe I am by conventional standards. I just didn't want to shrink and fade away as I got older, like I saw my mother do, like I see so many other women do. And I also didn't want to become desperate to hang on to my youth. My goal was, you have to get used to change as you get older, because as you get older, life is full of changes.
Right.
Some welcome, some unwelcome. But if you don't learn to embrace it, it's going to be so much harder for you than it has to be. That was my pledge to myself. And for the last 13 years, that's what I have really been focusing on, is not necessarily making change easier, but being willing to be comfortable with the discomfort of change. I'm very pleased with how much I've grown in this regard. And I think it's helping me with the aging process, you know, now that my knees are acting up and my neck is starting to go, and, you know, I'm having hairs growing out of places that I'm not used to having them. I'm like, what the heck? Where's this coming from? I need to get stronger and stronger, lights and tweezers and all that stuff. But I'm not afraid of it anymore.
Right.
You know, and right. that's been so, so welcome and so helpful.
Yeah. And I just wanted to talk about this because I see you embracing this new life and this new change, and not in a way that you're like, well, I don't have necessarily like long-term close friends. So what I would say is you are comfortable with it not being in flow necessarily. Like you're okay with it being a work in progress, that like you're not going out on Saturday night and having dinner with all these new friends. Like you're making your friends authentically and mm-hmm. slowly and in a way that feels good. And you're finding, it took maybe took a few months to find your gym, which by the way, ladies, she dragged me out on a Sunday morning for a spin class, which next one we're going to have to do the podcast from the spin side.
Oh yes, absolutely.
Spin with Diane. But you're just allowing things to unfold in a way that you're not forcing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like from this side, it's really fun to watch
mm.
because I think we tend to go, all right, I've moved to a new city. I better like find my grocery store and my dry cleaner and my best friend and all of these things. And if I haven't, I failed, or like I'm not doing it right. Or, but you're just sort of sitting back and allowing things to unfold. And it's really cool.
Thank you for saying that, because you've known me a little bit and seen me through a couple of changes. I would say, Jackie, one of the things that's been really interesting for me is that my husband and I are both workaholics.
Mm-hmm.
We met on the job almost 25 years ago. And very soon after that, I moved on to working elsewhere and then eventually working for myself for the last 10 years. And we haven't had dinner together since the late 90s. I mean, not during the week anyway.
Right.
But now I work from home. We, you know, the big thing is we needed to get a place that was big enough so that I could have my own office and he could have his own office. We were originally looking at downsizing when we moved here, but we realized that we were going to be in each other's space. And after being apart, I mean, he would leave the house at 8:30 in the morning and come home at 9 at night.
Mm-hmm.
So we only had dinner together on the weekends. And now we're both in the house all the time. I'm working, he's working. and we're learning to coordinate our schedules. But let's just say it's been a huge adjustment. Like we're used to being, I would used to joke that the reason we've been together so long is that we don't spend very much time together.
Right.
But the truth is that it's a very welcome change. And I can't even imagine, let's just say that he had continued in his previous job where he was working a gazillion hours and I was working a gazillion hours and we only saw each other on the weekends. Like people are just dating and don't even live together. Can you imagine going from that to retirement?
Mm.
This is, we both have our own things, but we are in the same space, kind of respecting each other's need to have time together, have time alone. And you know, the thing is that I do get lonely. Of course I get lonely. I went to the same gym in LA for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I go 7 days a week. I always went at the same time. I had my people. I had my gym friends. I had my trainers. I had the same hairdresser for years. I had the same person who did my nails. I had the same friends, the same neighbors. Of course, I miss that. I did find a gym here. I found a great person that does my hair here. But what I realized is this was such a big change. And frankly, I think it took a lot of courage and optimism. But I'm not in a rush to just fill up the void.
Right.
I think that's what you're seeing
you
and what you're responding to.
You said that so much more eloquently than I could.
Oh, well,
say.
You know, you're welcome. I take a bow, but we're sitting on these dumpy chairs in my closet. But it's really that I feel the void, Jackie. I'm not, you know, I'm not a superhero. I feel it. I recognize it. I respect it. Every once in a while, I tell my husband, I'm feeling lonely. But what's different is that I understand that quality friendships are not low-hanging fruit.
Right.
You're not going to just meet someone easily and quickly, and they're just going to be the best friend you never met before. I need to give myself time. I need to give myself space. I need to not jump in to fill that emptiness with the first thing I find. I've done that in the past.
Right.
And then, you know, it's like somebody who dates on the rebound. You're just trying to fill that sense of emptiness because you can't tolerate the discomfort. I'm trying to become an expert in tolerating discomfort so that I can choose more wisely what I fill my life with. And I kind of wish it hadn't taken me quite this long to figure that out, but I'm incredibly grateful that I have. And
yeah.
It's working.
Yeah. And I think it's a great message to those of us who are behind a little bit, because I think female friendships can get really complicated in some ways as
Absolutely.
We get older.
Yes.
But, you know, when we make high school friends and college friends, and I still have all of those, and work friends from when you're in your 20s, and I'm so lucky to have all those. But then you start to make friends of convenience.
Yes.
Especially when you have kids.
Yep. Your mommy and me friends,
yeah.
Your gymboree friends,
yeah.
You know.
Or even if you don't have kids, but like in your 30s, I think that whether it's a work friend or, like you said, like another room mom in the classroom,
yeah,
or exactly. Whatever it is, it's geographically desirable.
Exactly.
Because your life becomes so busy,
yes.
That if you don't try to make somebody, a friendship with somebody who's in, you know, geographically desirable or in your everyday life, then you don't really have those connections. But as we get older, into our later 40s, I'm 48,
mm-hmm.
And 50s and 60s, we can really stop making friends out of convenience and start making friends based on that true connection.
Mm-hmm.
Just that true interest. You said something to me today where you met someone and you were like, I'd like to get to know you more as a friend. Do you have room in your life for that? And I'm like, that's badass.
You know, it's funny because I say things like that.
Yeah.
Now. I'll meet somebody and think, I started working with a physical therapist because I'm having difficulty with my knees. And I said, thank you, Tom, not only for the service you provide for the person that you are, I really like you.
Oh.
And he said, same. And you know what? I would
samesies.
Samesies. We talked about that. I would think that thought before, like I really like this person, but I wouldn't just come right out and say, I like you.
Right.
And when I feel that now, I do. And I met another woman at an event that I went to recently, and I said, I could really see the two of us being friends. Would that work for you? And she said, I don't think I've ever heard anybody say something like that. And I said,
well, what?
I'm like, was that the answer I'm going to get? And I said, okay. Yeah, I probably haven't really said it too many times, but I'm saying it now. What do you think? She said, let's meet for coffee and see what happens. And I'm like, I don't think I'm being dissed. Well, you know what the truth is that what I respected about that is I'm very direct.
Yeah.
I am. I've always been direct.
I love that about you.
I love that about me, but it's not for everybody.
Right.
Some people find it intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because I spoke in such a just undefended, honest, and maybe a little effusive way, it took her by surprise. Right. But I think she liked it. But I'm glad that she gave me a cautious answer. Because I think sometimes in the past, I've been so eager to fill a void. Like, oh, I have an opening for a friend in my department. I need to fill that job opportunity.
You're like, I got a bestie tattoo. I'm just waiting for your name below.
Right, exactly. I need to fill this void. And I would just be so eager to not feel that loneliness or that emptiness or that feel like something's missing. And I realize, you know, you live this long and you realize there's something always missing. There's something in your marriage that's missing. There's something in your career that's missing. Something about parenthood that you thought you would feel. And you're feeling something different.
Right.
And I think that's, to me, that's part of the gift of the aging process, is that if you're courageous enough to be honest with yourself, you can start to think, honestly, my biggest think is nothing in life has turned out the way I thought it would. Absolutely nothing.
Isn't that miraculous in a way?
Yes. And the fact that we keep showing up for it, it's like, wow, none of this is what I expected. It's surprising and delightful that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a good attitude to have going forward because life is going to continue to surprise us. And if that's a bad thing, it's going to be hard.
Right.
I'm open to seeing what life has for me. And I just wish everybody would stop telling me, oh, you really like Portland now, but just wait till the rainy season starts and it's going to be months and months and months of rain. You know what I tell them? You know what? That might be a problem for me. And then again, it might not.
Right.
Let me just see what happens.
Well, I think that people aren't being as direct as you are. And a better way of saying that to you might be, wow, we're really going to miss you in Southern California.
Hmm.
But they don't know how to just be honest and direct and vulnerable and say, you are missed.
You know what's funny? You're making me think about something, is that people assume when you leave, when you change something in your life, as significant as leaving your hometown, long-term hometown.
Right.
And just up and going somewhere else on 4 weeks' notice where you don't know anyone. People always assume there's something wrong, that you don't like LA anymore, that you're running away from LA. And people said, well, what, don't you like LA anymore? And I say, I love LA. Well, why are you leaving? Because I'm ready for a change.
Mm.
Nothing has to be wrong. I don't need to diss LA. I don't need to compare Portland and LA and start finding fault with LA. I love LA. I'll always love LA. And right now I'm loving Portland. Maybe in the future I'll love something else.
It's a great example though, because I think it could be LA. It could be a job.
Absolutely.
It could be a relationship, whatever it is. And you're like, this no longer serves me in this phase of my life, mm-hmm. in this stage. So I'm going to make another choice. And those who are still in that job or doing the thing that you've left behind, I think sometimes will judge or think that you are judging.
Oh my gosh, that's so true.
You hate LA. Well, you think I suck because I'm staying in LA.
No, it's
this huge leap.
It's so interesting. When I left my previous husband, I actually had a very good friend, very, very long-term friend from childhood, early childhood, who preemptively ended our friendship. Now, a number of years later, she circled back around and we reconnected for a while, but her rationale was that I didn't think my husband was good enough for me anymore, so she was going to be next.
Mm.
She was going to dump me before I had a chance to dump her. And I thought, that's bizarre. Like, one doesn't have anything to do with the other. And then I had other friends that said, well, your marriage wasn't that fulfilling, and so you left. But your marriage wasn't any worse than ours or better than ours. Like, we're still here. What makes you so special? I'm like, oh my gosh. I didn't give the slightest thought to anyone else's marriage. I never thought, well, my marriage is about average compared to my friends, and then weigh the risks and benefits of sticking around for some. I just, people don't think that way.
Like,
you know,
Steve and Marcy have a worse marriage. They should totally be broken up.
Yeah, like hop on the divorce bus, girlfriend. I'm like, I just, it's absolutely true on the subject of change, Jackie, that when a person decides to make a change, it often sends a ripple effect through those close to them, causing those other people to sort of look at the choices that they've made, that perhaps they've thought of changing but haven't.
Right.
And they can feel quite threatened by your ability or your willingness to change. And sometimes it can come around like they can get very angry at you because they think you're, I don't know, non-committed or...
Yeah. Or they're angry that you're doing something that they only wish they could.
But it doesn't usually show up that way. No. Most people are like, oh, I guess she's just never happy with anything.
Typical Diane.
She's never happy with anything. Yeah. I'm like, I most assuredly am always happy.
Right.
And when I'm ready for change, I change.
Yeah.
It's not because I'm unhappy.
Right.
It's not a solution to unhappiness.
Right.
Change is not the solution to unhappiness.
Right. That's a great point.
You can get happy.
That's the quote right there. You
Boom!
See.
Tweetable! And I'm not even on Twitter. You can get happy.
Change is not the solution.
To unhappiness.
To unhappiness.
No.
What is?
Here's how I think. Maybe everybody doesn't agree, but what I think is if you're not happy, that's an inside job.
Yeah.
You get yourself happy. Then you can decide whether you want to change or not, because then you won't expect the change to make you happy. Have you ever heard the expression, wherever you go, there you are?
Yeah.
Okay. The idea is, if you're not happy where you are, going somewhere else isn't going to change
right.
that. You're just going to take whatever made you right. unhappy along with you.
So change isn't the answer.
Nope.
To unhappiness.
No.
However, for those out there who are in the process of starting over, like they've talked about in the Facebook group, mm-hmm. or who are thinking about starting over, whether it's a job or a big move or friendship or
could be anything.
Marriage, I'm putting you on the spot here.
Do it. I'm in my closet. Where can I go?
I want three survival tactics. Like, what are three things everyone should do to make their life a little bit easier when going through a big change? Come on, you're a former therapist slash life coach.
Yeah, actually, this is so bizarre, but Jackie, the first thing that came to mind was make sure you have plenty of potable water and canned food. Maybe because I lived through the Northridge earthquake and I didn't have any of that.
Food and water. Survival.
Food and water. Literally. But don't have canned food if you don't have a can opener. Yeah. That would be the kind of thing I would do. I'd be trying to break it open with my teeth.
Right.
Okay. What are the three things every woman needs when she's going through a period of change?
Yeah. Just to make life a little less scary.
Okay. This is how I would answer it. You know that I'm a long-term practitioner of mindfulness meditation.
Yes.
Basically, that and vigorous daily exercise are what keep me sane.
Okay. So those are two things or one?
No, actually, they're not. That was the warm-up. Okay. that was the prelude.
That was the pre-three.
So now I'm going to tell you. Mindfulness meditation is based on three things. And I think those are the three things.
Okay.
Okay. One is openness. Mm-hmm. And openness is just be receptive to whatever happens. And that means just don't have so many expectations about how it's going to be or how it's going to go, or don't predict that it's going to be really hard or it's going to be really easy. Just be open to what actually happens. Mm. Be curious about your new life and the experiences you're going to have as you go through this change, the person that you're going to be as you're going through the transformation, and the person you will become when you're on the other side of it. And the third one is non-judgmental. I've noticed that a lot of people feel like, well, I moved 3 years ago and I still feel unsettled. Still, they're judging. I should be adjusted by now.
Oh, yeah.
Or I was in a terrible marriage and I finally left. I've been alone for 2 years. I still don't have a boyfriend. Or, you know, whatever it is. I was in the job,
judgment
the career.
Of the progress.
Yeah, judgment of, well, it all comes down to expectations.
Yes.
If we could live without expectations, we'd all be way happier. But, you know, the concepts from mindfulness meditation, openness, curiosity, and lack of judgment, they're really sort of filters on your brain where you're like, I just want to allow the experience to be what it is, mm-hmm. without setting expectations, without judging how I'm actually going through it, without thinking it's supposed to be a certain way. Or that's why I don't like the idea of people saying, oh, we've been so miserable in Spokane, we just know we're going to love it in Seattle. You know nothing of the sort, because life is full of surprises. And you know, who knows? A year from now, I may think, I'm really glad I came to Portland. It's been an amazing experience, and I'm ready to go somewhere else. I don't know.
Right.
I don't feel like I have to justify, if I'm here more than 5 minutes, I won't be able to afford to go back to LA because of the housing prices. Yeah. So, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of people who said, but you know, if you don't like it there, there's no way you could afford to come back to LA. I understand that. I'm open to whatever happens, including the possibility that I might not like it here. I'm okay with that. There's no guarantees in life. You know, you live a few decades and you realize nothing turns out the way you thought it would.
Right.
And nothing will. And the more you can kind of embrace that and sort of roll with the punches, not only the easier it gets, I think the more exciting and the more fun. Like, I like just waking up to whatever happens and thinking, I mean, I might have a new gray hair or I might make a new friend. Like, I'm cool. I don't know. You know, I don't have any.
Either way, it's going to be 4:30 in the morning.
Well, 4:40. Okay. Yes. I want to make sure I have every minute coming to me. And you will get coffee tomorrow morning at 5. You have my word.
Before I head back.
You have my word.
I just appreciate getting this chance to like see your life and how things are unfolding. And I'm excited for you. I can't wait to see what's next.
You're definitely coming along for the ride. Yeah. You're on the party bus wherever it happens to be going. So
always. I think I'm driving. And I'm not going to give anything away, but for those Diane fans, there is something that you're going to be announcing very soon.
Yes.
So they can get more Diane. All Diane all the time.
Yes, exactly.
So I'm excited about that. So
wow, you had a really good announcer voice. I'm going to have to hire you for something, yes.
So stay tuned for that.
I'll let you let the cat out of the bag when the time comes.
Okay, I'll announce it. So,
all right.
Well, thank you so much.
You bet.
All right. So if you like this episode, don't forget, share it with a friend. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, take care and keep thriving.
Spring has sprung, and with the change of seasons, sometimes comes an increase in vitality. If you're feeling in the mood for a little more personal time, may I suggest Coconut? Coconut is all about providing clean and natural ingredients when you're enjoying your most intimate moments, with or without a partner. Naturally safe products developed by people who are obsessed with quality. Get 15% off with promo code GRONASS at grownasswoman.guide/coconut. That's 15% off with promo code GRONASS at grownasswoman.guide/coconut.